Last week, Manchester United Football Club, apart from defeating Crystal Palace, announced that Jose Mourinho would be their new manager. If you're not a football fan, you probably don't care less. But the thing that interested me was this. Mourinho's move to Man United was delayed earlier this week by negotiations over the rights to his image. Apparently, Chelsea Football Club owned the Mourinho brand, and so Man United had to pay for the privilege not just of having Jose Mourinho come to their club to manage them, but they had to pay for the privilege of buying his identity as well. Yes, the world has gone mad, you're absolutely right. But it led to a rather diverting phone-in on Radio 5 where they were asking listeners to describe their brand. What is your brand? And so people were phoning in, sort of giving a description of themselves. What would people think of when they heard your name? If I had to describe brand Bridget, I think I'm probably down to earth, loving shoes, and vociferous. So that's probably my brand. Why don't you take a moment, turn to the person next to you and describe what your brand would be, two or three words or phrases that sum up who you are and what you're like. Go. Anybody fancy sharing their brand identity? What have we got at the front, Roz? Parties and shoes. Oliver said, what was it, utterly pompous or arrogant? But then he changed that.
Humble
and self-effacing. There you go. Anyway, as I say, it was quite funny on the radio, so I thought it was worth repeating. Well, this week we're starting a new sermon series called I Am. And for the next few weeks, couple of months or so, we're going to be looking at seven of the things that Jesus says about himself, all of which begin with the words, I am. Things like, I am the good shepherd, I am the gate, I am the way, truth, and the life, and so on. But today I want to kick off the series by looking at the story that underlies all of those stories. And that's the story of Moses at the burning bush and his encounter with I am. I suppose you could say it's a story about brand identity. It's about who Moses is, and it's also about who God is. But I want to focus in particular today on the character of Moses. Moses was a man with a conflicted sense of identity. If you think a bit about his backstory, he was born into a family of Hebrew slaves. He was raised in the Egyptian royal household, and then he married a Midianite woman, which is rather traitorous, I would think, to his fellow Israelites. When Moses became a father, he did something rather telling. He called his son Gershom, which means foreigner or outsider. And he said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. So Moses was a man who didn't feel like he belonged. He was a man who perhaps felt a little bit lost somewhere between those three different groups that he'd come from. Like Moses, our own sense of identity is shaped by the family that we're born into, by the place where we grow up and the people that we grow up amongst, and by the relationships that we form. Our identity may also be formed and shaped by our education, our work, our age and stage of life, our achievements. A friend of mine has got a lot of pictures on the wall going up his stairs. They've got, first of all, school photographs, then photographs of his time at Cambridge University, and then photographs of him rowing for his college. It says an awful lot about how he sees himself. But sometimes we can experience a crisis in our sense of identity. We find ourselves conflicted or confused, or like Moses, we feel lost and like we don't belong. Things like relationship breakdown, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the arrival or departure of a child, and a change of culture. All of those things can leave us feeling like we don't really know who we are or we don't know where we fit anymore. I wonder if you've ever had a time like that in life where you've just felt a little bit lost. I certainly have. This story is all about Moses meeting with God, but just think for a moment about where Moses meets God. The writer of Exodus tells us that Moses led his flock to the far side of the wilderness. I love the idea that the wilderness has a far side, which means he probably had to travel a long way in order to find something for his flock to graze on. For many people, when they lose their sense of identity, they can find themselves in an emotional and spiritual wilderness. That's often how we call those experiences in life. We talk about it as being a bit of a wilderness experience or a time in the desert. Like Moses, we travel a long way to the far side of the wilderness in the hope of finding something that will give us life or help us to keep going or will feed us in some way. So Moses, a man who felt lost and like he didn't belong, met God when he was wandering in the desert. And let me summarize the conversation that God and Moses had. God said, I've seen the suffering of my people, I've seen their misery, I've heard their cries, and so I have come. And then he says to Moses, so now go, I am sending you. Quite an onerous task, daunting, to which Moses says, but who am I? Or rather, who am I? And God says, I am with you. But who are you, says Moses. And God says, I am who I am. What I notice here in this story is that Moses' sense of identity comes not from his family, nor the place where he grew up. It doesn't even come from his job as a shepherd, nor does it come from the call that God places on him to lead his people out of slavery. Moses' sense of identity comes from God. Who am I? I am with you, says God, in answer to that question, as if the presence of God is somehow enough to enable Moses to find himself. I am with you. You may remember shortly after Easter that the Telegraph printed a story about the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. And in the story, they revealed that his father wasn't actually his father at all. That he, it turned out, was or is the illegitimate son of Sir Winston Churchill's last private secretary. It was quite an intriguing story, but I was really amazed by the way that Justin Welby responded. This is a little bit of what he said. My own experience is typical of many people. To find that one's father is other than imagined is fairly frequent. To be the child of families with great difficulties in relationships, with substance abuse or other matters, is far too normal. Although there are elements of sadness and even tragedy in my father's case, this is a story of redemption and hope from a place of tumultuous difficulty and near despair in several lives. He says it's a testimony to the grace and power of Christ to liberate and redeem us, grace and power which is offered to every human being. And this is the key thing. He says, I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics, and my identity in him never changes. In spite of a very messy upbringing that was mired by alcoholism, here is a man who has found his identity in the fact that God is with him. Who am I? I am with you, says God. When Moses asks God, but who are you? I wonder if what he's actually asking is, can I trust you? Are you someone who's trustworthy? When we are in those wilderness times in life, those desert experiences, we often wonder, first of all, if God is really there. And then secondly, if he is, can we trust him? Because often hard times in life make us doubt ourselves, make us doubt God. We wonder, has God put me through this? Why is he letting this happen to me? But listen to what God says to Moses in verse 8. He says, I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God says to a man who is in the wilderness, I'm going to take you to a place with good grazing for your cattle, and I'm going to take you to a place that is verdant with date palms, which is where their honey came from. So God promises to take Moses and his people out of the desert place and into a place of flourishing and lushness and life and growth. And I think God wants to say the same thing to some of us who are here this morning. For those of us who are in the desert place, there is a promise from God that I will take you to this place of life and growth and flourishing and lushness. He also says in verse 12, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. It's another way of saying, when you come back here, when you stand here again, Moses, you won't be searching anymore. You won't be wondering who you are. You'll be praising God because you are found. One of the things that's powerful about this story of Moses is that this isn't just a story about God rescuing Moses as an individual and God restoring his sense of identity. It's also about God's people, the Israelites, too. So God finds Moses in the desert in order to use him to go and find a whole generation who are lost. And for us, our personal salvation is not just about our personal salvation. It's about God enabling all people to be found by him and found in him, and for all people and all creation to flourish, that life might be flowing with milk and honey. I started out by talking about our brand identities. Who am I? Asked Moses. And God said in answer to that question, I am with you. And that's our brand identity as Christians, that God is with us. He's with us in the good times and the easy times, but perhaps most importantly, he's with us in the desert places. He's with us in the wilderness. He's with us when we're searching. He's with us when we feel lost. He's with us when we're wondering who we are or might be. So I pray that you would come to know that you have been found by God so that others might be found by God through us. Amen.